Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Right, like I don't know how many scouts are going to go watch Western Carolina, but big dude, like I compared him to Zach Eflin because he's control and like just a big bodied, like, you know, like Zach Eflin's a big dude too. I kind of got those vibes from him, but yeah, I like him. Obviously, guys who do not walk people are going to be good for your fantasy outcome because they're not going to, you know, give up damage, even if they're not the super high K rate guy. So like the reason I don't have him higher in my rankings is like 13.6 swing strike rate. And a lot of his production is just based off of not walking guys rather than having like dominant stuff. And when I'm looking at pitchers, like I don't know, I just want to go for the stuff more than like, I'm just attracted to like, give me the guy with a 16% swing strike rate in the 34-35% CSW in the minors. But I don't know, it's just like the sexiness of the stuff, I guess, overwhelms me. So call me a failure in that.
No, it was because who the hell was talking about? Was it Zach Wheeler or Chris Bassett maybe that did the whole like, you know, if a guy has a, you know, a what was it like a 2 ERA and throws 91 or the guy, you know, it was about guys getting callbacks for spring training or a guy has a 5 ERA but throws 98. Like that's the guy that's going to get the callback in spring. There's an element to that in the prospect game where it's like, yeah, I don't disagree. If I see a guy with like a really high strikeout rate and a walk issue, I feel like I have a better opportunity to improve that walk rate than I do improve the strikeout ability of a like a low velo pitcher. Though one that speaks to my case, Luis Heel. That's a perfect example of an absurdly high walk guy that's figuring out. But also, I think Joe Ryan was kind of an example of one of those guys that didn't have overpowering stuff, but you know, he used deception and command and kind of pitch mix changes to actually be a pretty good strikeout guy as well. So I don't know. I'm open to the opportunities. Ebby is obviously flying upwards. Another guy that is flying upwards. I actually made a big move for this next rank update as well. Number one, Emmanuel Rodriguez, who we have talked about a bit. 2024, the batting average is settling as it does with him. And I think that's one of the big keys you're going to have to really like wrap yourself around with Emmanuel Rodriguez when you're looking at big prospects like this might be, and this might be the thing that takes him from not being able to be a top 10 guy overall, is because you don't see consistent batting average that sustains and holds for a really long time. What you have seen is a little bit of a lowered strikeout approach, absurdly high walk so far this year. He's got 6 homers and he is stealing a lot of bases, but this last week was another one of those where he's just going off again, Tim.
Yeah, and actually, I think he hit a couple more bombs. Like, I want to say yesterday he hit 2 more bombs. I saw somebody post about that. So, yes, actually, he did. So I had a couple bombs. He's at 8 now. But he had, before that, 8 for 19, 4 walks, 4 extra base hits, 2 homers. So he's up to 8 now total. So it's 6 plus 2 more from the other day. But, yeah, power, speed, walk rate, like killer in a points league. I think he's a, you know, if you're in a points league, he's probably a top 5, 10 prospect pretty easy. I've got him at 17 is kind of like the little resting spot that I found for him in my updated rankings here.
Or 9 but, points.
That's just like considering like overall, not really. Yeah. It's not subject, you know, it's not subjective to either Roto or points. It's just kind of like if you mash them together, this is where I'm going to put them. But yeah, in points leagues, I'm probably putting him in like top 5, top 10, just because he's going to walk so much. You're going to get tons of points for that. I don't know. Do you think he's got the best eye of any hitter in the minors? Like, would you give Erod the best eye?
See, but that's tough though, because I don't want to give the best eye to a guy that's hitting 260. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think it's not like Carlos Santana. I mean, we see these guys that we see this. Edward Julian. Actually, I think you wrote like as like a similar comp. Edward Julian has some of this where like his batting average struggles because of himself of driving counts. And the more I talk about this all the time, I feel like it is like a Twins based thing that they want these guys to like, you know, not be aggressive in early counts. But I think there is some aggression. I just think there's an incredible combo of tools. Your ability to understand the zone, I think that's what he has. I think he has an incredible eye for the zone, but his ability to consistently make contact is not quite there. You know, the batting average was way up, so it sunk down just a tiny bit. But he's one of those bets, you know, that you have. And I love his swing. I think it's some of the best bat speed in baseball. He's still running. Staying healthy is the big key. Jeez, just stay healthy. But I think he's like a top 12 prospect. I mean, you know, if you play in a 15 team, he's like a first round, you know, quote, if you were doing a fresh draft or we were doing the P1 ADPs, he's got to go in like the top 15. You know, that's where his value lies. And it's going to be even bigger. He might, by process of elimination, become a top 10 prospect once we get, you know, the Langfords and the Holidays and the Jason Dominguez's and stuff, those come off. Process of elimination is probably going to get him there. If he could re-rise that batting average and we can get that back up, I think that would be exciting. But I also think like I think I can live with this version. If this is the version, and that's the problem though, is it's like if he's a 260 hitter now, what is that translation going to have, especially when you make that AAA to high or to the major jump? What's that going to look like? Like are the strikeout, if he had like a 20% K rate and a 25% walk rate, that would make me feel a little bit better. It's almost a 30% strikeout rate with an absurd. I mean, he's like one of those three outcome players. And I don't know if that's always the best, but I think his tools are absurd. And this is a top, it's a great time to be a Twins fan. You know, you got two top 15 prospects in Walker Jenkins and Emmanuel Rodriguez. And that's very little, but arguable.
Just imagine how annoying it's going to be if you're a pitcher and you have Julian hitting first and then Rodriguez hitting second. You're like, by the time that you're facing Royce Lewis or whatever hitting third, you've already thrown like 20 pitches in the first inning. You're like, oh, that suck. So, I mean, that like these guys are just going to be annoying. They're just going to like, it's just beat this pitcher by attrition. Just like make them throw as many pitches as possible and just annoy the crap out of them. So that like by the time they get to, you know, they've faced them two times, that pitcher's already at like 80 pitches. And they're just like, man, somebody swing. Just throw it down the middle. I'm going to throw it down the middle just because I want someone to swing and make some contact here.
That's like, part of the weird thing, too, is I think that's part of their game. It's like you drive the counts. You're very, very selective. I'd like him to be. I like to see him a little less selective and be a little bit more aggressive. But I've been saying that about Edward Julian for like 2 years. So that's how that goes. Number two on the list, we actually talked about him earlier. Max Clark makes the list after a poorish 2023, but 2024 hitting .256. The batting average is ticking up. And don't look now, I think he went like a month without a homer. He's already got a couple bags and a bunch of stolen bases. Talk to me about Max.
Yeah, I think this is his best week. So this week, 10 for 24 with 5 walks, 4 extra base hits, a bomb, and 4 steals. And I think you and I have talked about it a little bit, that there's like a little bit of Corbin Carroll light profile here. But this is what I really like to see for Max Clark. 80.3% contact rate and 93% zone contact rate on the year for Max Clark. That really shows that the hit tool is there, because like what we ran into last year is everyone's like, oh, look, Walker Jenkins is just so much better than Max Clark because of the hit tool. But I feel like Max Clark is doing now the same kind of thing contact rate wise that we saw from Walker Jenkins last year. So maybe these guys are closer to the same level than like people at the end of the last year when Walker Jenkins just went off and Max Clark had some initial struggle.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
We're willing to kind of give him. The other thing too, only a 19.1% chase rate on the year from Max Clark. So that's like well above average as far as like avoiding chasing the ball outside of the zone. So these are all good things that when you have a Max Clark type profile, you're like, dude, just get on base. Just get on base and run. Like that's all we want. So that's what we're seeing.
I really do also want to see, I don't know when we're going to get it, but like, I'd love to see swing profile stuff on him as well, because I've had...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
Shout out to Swing Graphs. That they were doing a thing on Corbin Carroll today. Someone was mentioning like, hey, is there any update? And Carroll's swing is still just flat. You know, it's this amazingly great, there's great bat speed. It's short, but it's still coming across flat and he's not showing any signs of improvement. And then we talk about kind of like similar comps with a guy like Max Clark in his profile, but I feel like he is more explosive. I feel like, you know, bat speed is going to be similar to Corbin Carroll. I think the swing might be even a tad bit longer. And I still believe in the power projection. I'd also say he has almost as many walks as strikeouts in the minor leagues. For all the, like everything you said, all the negatives and people are like, oh my God, Max Clark and Walker Jenkins aren't even close. I've tried not to waver on Max Clark. I'm trying to stay the course because sometimes these guys need just a tiny bit longer. I think Clark and Jenkins might kind of go their own direction. So they might both be uniquely great prospects, but I just don't think the gap exists. And I'm still a heavy Max Clark guy. Let me ask you this, Max Clark or Emmanuel Rodriguez?
I think if I'm in a points league, I'm going to go Rodriguez. And if I'm in a roto league, I'm going Clark.
I rank to roto based categories. I do put definers on my prospect list if somebody has like an advantage in a certain format. And I have under Manny Rodriguez, OBP plus, points plus. Like that's where, you know, he thrives and he would go up. So in a vacuum, I'm going to say Max Clark. But I kind of agree. If it were like a points league, I might give Rodriguez the edge. But also don't be too dismissive of Max Clark. The guy's walking as well. It's just Rodriguez, I think, is going to have more power. And Clark is going to steal a lot of bases, and that's not going to be as valuable in points. So that's why that might move down a little bit. Coming in at number three, you put this one. I'm glad you put this one on here. Noah Schultz with the Chicago White Sox, who I've got really high as well as you do. So far this year, an over 30% K minus walk percentage. Great CSW numbers. ERA has been a little up, but he's not giving up a whole bunch of contact in general. Sub one whip. This past week was good. He's a big, you know, lanky guy, like 6'8" or whatever the hell he is. When he walks around, you can see him coming. Whenever I go to White Sox camp, he absolutely shows out. You know when Noah Schultz is coming. And this season has been pretty solid. And he is like a no doubt top 100 prospect overall. I'm trying to see where I have him at SP, but talk to me about Noah Schultz.
Yeah, I moved him all the way up to 29 even. He's just destroying. Even this week, it wasn't anything like special really for him. It's just kind of like, this is the funny thing, is a good week, right? 4 innings, 5 Ks, 0 walks, and only 1 hit against, 0 ERA. And for him, that's just like, oh, just another day at the office or whatever, because he's been that good. But you mentioned the CSW, 36.6% CSW on the season, 31.8 K minus walk. The main thing for me is like, are they going to try to push him? Like, are they going to lay off on him? Or are they going to try to push him and be like, okay, we know he's only 20 years old, but he only has X amount of bullets in this arm before he's going to need Tommy John at some point. So let's just push him and get these bullets. Like, let's move him up quick. Or is he just going to be stuck in this conga line of starters that the White Sox have? All these guys at Double A, Thorpe and Eater and Iriarte, and then they've got Nastrini at Triple A. So is he just going to get stuck in the conga line of pitchers, even though he might be the best one from a skills point? Or is he going to jump some of those guys? It's almost like a Jackson Jobe situation with all these pitchers that the Tigers have, but like a year or two behind where the Tigers are at. Like, what are your thoughts on, like, when are we going to actually see this dude pitch in the majors, and where is he in this kind of like pecking order of all these guys that the White Sox have acquired over the last couple of years here?
Well, I think it's going to not be this year, like to what you said. There's too much. There's Nastrini, there's Eater, there's Thorpe, and there's Iriarte. There's no advantage to going too aggressive. Now, I think the aggression is just we move him up to Double A. I think he finishes out the year at Double A. Maybe he gets a little taste of Triple A, but there's been some injury stuff with him. I think they're going to baby him. I actually wouldn't be surprised if we saw him in the Arizona Fall League, to be honest, especially if they want to like really taper down this year, or it's part of the buildup process because of missed time. But I don't think he's an option this year. There's nothing for them to play for to start service time when they've already got guys that are going to have to check those boxes this year. They got to know what they have in Eater. They're already working that with Nastrini. They'll probably trade Fetty, and that's going to open up the other spot, but that's Thorpe and that's Iriarte. I think those guys are the ones you're going to see this year. But I mean, I'm a huge Drew Thorpe guy, but I wouldn't be shocked if when it's all said and done, Noah Schultz is the best of all of them. I mean, like, I love the possibility that he's going to maintain a lower walk rate. He's tough to hit. He's tough to pick up. Good fastball. I think he's going to be great. I have him ranked pretty aggressively, but maybe not as aggressive as you, because if you've met 27, what is he like, SP4 or 5 for you?
Yeah, I think he's number 5 or something like that for me. I haven't done like a positional type breakdown of my rankings yet. But like
you've got Skeens above. You've probably got Joe above.
Yeah, yeah. I've got Skeens and Joe both in the top 10. I want to say I also have Horton above him, and there's probably a couple other guys in there that Painter and Horton I have above him. So he might be like 5 or 6. But so I have, like,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, a 6'9 guy who doesn't walk people is just ridiculous. He's in Double A now, and he's only 20 years old, and 6.4% walk rate in High A at that height. Like, all these other tall pitchers with this kind of stuff, 96 miles per hour plus stuff that we see come up, they all have command issues. So how is he avoiding that? Like, he's just like, it's just like a natural gift to not run into the same issues that even like Tyler Glass now ran into. And so if he can transition that quick, we might be seeing something really special here, and I would want to be on that bandwagon. So I'm willing to overinflate him and maybe bump him higher than like other people would, because I'm willing to reach for this type of prospect.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think that's a solid space. I have him at like 12 as SPs, but I think he's in this group of, I think Rhett Lauder is going to be awesome. I'm a sucker for command pitchers. I think you can maybe start making arguments about Mizorowski, even though Mizorowski's having a fantastic year, but there's relief risk. Like, I think
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Just belongs in that world. But I also think a lot of those guys, I would say like my 13 down are their own tier, because that includes Noble Meyer. That's Drew Thorpe. That Tiedemann is still in there. Like, I think that's this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
$4.
Grouping tier of pitchers that I think are at the highest of heights. Like, I'm not going to put Leilani. I mean, Lesko's falling off, you know, Tink Hench, your boy, like those guys just don't belong in that group right now. It's an elite group. And Noah Schultz is part of that group. Coming in at number four. Oh, it's Tink Hench. Would you know it? Tink Hench, he is deserved to be talked about here because Tink just had his best career start. And so, and this year, it's a phenomenal year, an over 16% swinging strike rate on the season. It's a sub three ERA. We've talked about him a bunch, but it's really because the strikeouts are taking this much bigger toll, this bigger weight on, you know, the value of who he is as a pitcher. He's throwing strikes at a great degree. And this last start absolutely had to have you have tears in your eyes, Tim. You might, you're just like, my boy's all grown up.
Yeah. The more that we see him pitch, the more I'm kind of moving like the possibility of him actually debuting this year up in my mind to like get myself ready, because six innings, 13 Ks, one walk this week, no runs. You mentioned it is his best start. He just keeps getting better. It's like, okay, he keeps that's what you really want to see when you see progression of a prospect. You just want to see him keep getting better and better and better and better. And we had mentioned, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, like how far up does he move in the rankings? So I had him, and I'm a Cardinals fan, but I had him at 52 in my last set of rankings. I bumped him to 31 in this newest set of ranking. And I think we're going to see him in August this year, Welsh. I don't know if it'll be like, depending on where the Cardinals, like how they're playing, if they're winning, losing, whatever, will probably determine whether it's like early August and late August, because do they want to burn the year of eligibility or not? It might be, hey, if they need it, because like today, I think Andre Pallante is starting for the Cardinals. They finally kick Liberatore out of the rotation after like five tries of failure. So there's going to be a point where like they're just like, okay, us running relievers out there in this fifth spot every day is not working when the Cardinals are like on like a 9-2 run or something like that. Like if you want to compete for a playoff spot, there's going to be a point where you're just like, okay, like we don't have the ammo to trade for Jesus Luzardo, or we just don't want to trade for Jesus Luzardo, whoever else is going to be available. So like, what are our options here? It's Tink Hench. That's the option. If you want to win, that's the option. So there's going to be a point where they just come to that conclusion.
I don't know if the Cardinals are going to be in that position where they're going to be winning, but they have got options. You know, they've got, and that's the other thing. They have a few options for this team to take a look at, you know, if they want to build it from within. So I do think there's a possibility on the back half of the year. I'm still a little bit dicey if he's going to be able to like be consistent. You know, I think like throwing more strikes for him is making the secondary stuff like that much more devastating. And, you know, great curveball. Like, I think Tink is in a good spot right now. I'm weary of overvaluing him at this point. But I do think, you know, he's obviously a top 100 prospect. There's just so many good pitchers right now. But what I do think is interesting is in the world of, if you want to talk about the buzz, we always talk about that, you know, the buzz, the top 13 guys, those guys all have their own little hemisphere, you know, everything rotates around them. But then you start talking, all right, you know, so who are the buzz pitchers that come to mind? People are going to start being like David Festa, Cade Povich, Adam Mazur, maybe Zebby Matthews, George Klassen, who's the other guy? Just completely. Quinn Matthews. Like those are the big guys that are on people's. Tink Hench isn't on a lot of people's minds, even though he has been phenomenal this year. So I don't know if he sits in that same realm of excitement for a lot of people, and that might make him more acquirable, which I'm kind of down with. So I still have questions about long-term sustainability and stuff like that, but you know, he's doing great. Number five, another one of those guys, Noble Meyer. We talked a decent amount about him. You can add anything else, but you know, K's have been great. He just came off of that huge strikeout performance. He's had a little bit of some walks, you know, that's inflated his whip and kind of lowered his K minus walk percentage, but he also just got moved up. So anything else you want to add on Noble Meyer from, I don't know how much you broke down, but like you saw this last start before the call up.
Yeah, so I watched it, and we were texting like before the game, and you're like, oh, I wonder where you're going to have Meyer like after you see him.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being like I sent you after. I was like, okay, so Noble Meyer is by far like the number one guy that I've seen, and I've seen some ridiculous pitchers. But the command is legit, and he's got five pitches that I saw. I don't know how he, maybe he has even more, but fastball can hit 100. He was hitting pretty consistently, like 97 on the fastball with pinpoint command. For a guy in A-ball like that young, pretty ridiculous, especially like after I saw like Klaassen just throwing it, his fastball all over the place.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Which we'll get talked to about in a second. But he also was throwing a 94-mile-per-hour sinker, a 91-mile-per-hour sweeper, slider at 85, 86. That was getting a lot of swing strikes. And then the changeup, 82 to 84-mile-per-hour changeup. There were so many swing strikes, like so many like punch-outs on that changeup, like final strike three. Just boom, changeup, and like high. He would throw it high, and then guys would just be swinging under it. The pitch mix was so, and the command was so impressive compared to some of these other guys. Cause the stuff was right there. Probably like I mentioned to you, I think like Quinn Matthews might have like the better, like 1-2 combo of pitches between the fastball slider, which we'll also talk about, I guess. Well, actually we talked about him a lot, but the fastball slider, I think for Quinn Matthews might be like the best, like 2-pitch type thing. But then like after that, he didn't have other pitches to go to. Whereas Noble Meyer, just like he has all these pitches and they're all weapons. It's not like, some of his pitches are like crappy, just like, I'm just going to throw this and mix it up. No, all those pitches were good pitches that he was getting swinging strikes on.
Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of the art sometime too. You took me back listening to that of just watching Tiedemann and Jobe in the AFL, where I saw almost all their starts, and there's obviously differences, but like a definitive difference between them was like Jackson Jobe, as exciting as he was, he was very predictable for me, and his stuff was great, but you know exactly what it's going to go. Where a guy like Ricky Tiedemann, he would pitch from behind, but then his stuff wasn't quite as good. And I was like, Tiedemann is becoming actually more of like the fastball just sets up, you know, that changeup or the slider, you know, it was just setting up those two pitches. And so he's almost kind of becoming a 2-pitch pitcher where Jobe could throw four different pitches. That was the other thing. Even though there was some predictability, it was explosive 3-4 type of pitches, even if the command sometimes kind of got off. And you could see like, oh, once this hones in, there are four pitches that he can work from with great spin numbers. And that's where you kind of come back to like a guy like Noble Meyer is going to have like a great arsenal of stuff. So I'm with this, and I, you know, he's a top 50 prospect for me. I think positionally I have Noble at, I'm really struggling with Mizorowski right now, but I've got him. I got Noble at like 11 overall of pitching prospects. So I'm still Rhett Lauder right there, but I kind of go back and forth. High school pitcher thing kind of holds me back. Also, I don't know. There's something about the Marlins right now that just hasn't sat well with me. All right, let's keep going here. Number 6, finally talking about some hitters again, Aiden Miller with the Phillies, hitting over 300 so far in AAA. Low strikeout rate, good walk rate, power, surprising stolen bases, at least in my mind. I consider him to be a much better power hitter. Building into his body, has a fantastic swing, absolutely dominating. I think Aiden Miller has got 30-plus home run power, and I wouldn't be shocked also if he ended up being like a third baseman or something like that for this team. But what did you see out of Aiden Miller?
Yeah, so like first off, he's just built. He's an super. He looks like a super athlete. Like he looks like a professional, like an all-star professional baseball player should look. So we'll start off there. He's got the body, but this is the thing that like really kind of stuck with me is that he was not having a good game. He started off 0-for-3 with 3 Ks, and his team was winning like 4-0 or something like that. And I was just like, okay, he's just like throwing the towel on this one. He's just like, whatever, we're winning. It's an A ball game. Who cares? Like, not a big deal. But then I saw him hit a double in his fourth at bat, and it was a 2-run double. So he scored in 2 runs. And then he made it over to third on a sac fly. And then the next play, there's a wild pitch. He was like, I was watching him when he was on third base, And he could have just been kind of out of the game because they were winning. It was like six to nothing, whatever. He's on third base. Like, it's like the eighth inning or whatever. He could have just been playing around la-di-da or whatever. But like, he was getting a really big leadoff, and then there's a wild pitch and he just torched it straight to home. And I was like, all right. I was like, this guy's a gamer. Like, his head was in the game, even though they were winning 6-0 or whatever. He's on third base. He could have just been like la-di-da. But like, as soon as that pitch was out and like, you could tell that was a wild pitch, he just took off and he's fast and he made it to home. And like, I was like, okay, this guy is a gamer. Like, he really cares about baseball, and you can tell how competitive he is and how much he wants to win. And like, that's why, like, the thing that's really the thing I'm taking away from my viewing of him, because it really wasn't a great look. And that's kind of like where I came up with my comp too, of like watching him. I was like, reminds me of Royce Lewis, like the competitive nature there, like just like the athletic body, the power and speed, potential hit tool here. He's also just has some insane EVs and a really good chase rate. Just like everything really across the board is like above average when it comes to him. And him just being that gamer, like, this guy's going to be a professional baseball player and he's going to be good. Like, I have,
it's
no going to
be really good. It's going to be a really good test for you too, because when you see great players struggle and you get minimal looks and a player doesn't look good, you've got to balance the reports to what we know, to what we've seen previous, to what you see in person and what they do out there. And sometimes you don't get anything out of it. And, you know, learning to not let those things skew or being able to pick up some of the intricacies of it. I like the Royce Lewis comp, actually. Maybe there's going to be a lot more stolen bases than I've ever given credit for. I mean, he's a solid athlete, 6'1", 200, not 200 crazy plus yet. But maybe there is going to be 15 plus stolen bases in his game. And I think that's going to equate to 20 plus on the homer. I'll tell you this. I got him right around the top 35 prospect overall right now. I am going in hard on Aiden Miller. So, you know, watch the list, watch the production, and watch the promotion, which should probably be happening soon. I don't know how much longer he's going to stay in Clearwater. So he should get pushed up a little bit. Big Aiden Miller podcast. This is for sure. Number seven, Dylan Beavers. I was putting seven and Dylan together. Dylan Beavers with the Orioles, who's hitting over 290. He's got a handful of homers, 7 homers, 9 stolen bases, really great walk rate. And another in the line of the good Orioles prospects that we're watching, though he's just not in Norfolk right now. So what do you got on Dylan Beavers from this last week?
Yeah, he's almost like right on par with that like 10-10 thing you were mentioning earlier in the podcast, but 4-for-19 this week. So not a lot of hits, but 3 walks. And 3 of those 4 hits were extra base hits, with 2 of them being bombs. I think that there's a really good player here, and he's kind of underrated just because he's buried in the system. And this is something we might just be running into, where some of these systems get so loaded and backloaded with these players that guys can kind of hide behind other really good guys. And so if you're not really paying attention, you wouldn't even notice, I think. But he was a first rounder, I want to say. And I kind of like see a little bit of a Kyle Tucker with like a worse hit tool is what I see his profile looking like. Some power, some speed, similar kind of batting stats. And then he's got some walks in there, but even last year, 52 extra base hits. So last year, only 11 homers, but 52 extra base hits. And that's kind of one of those things that you harp on is, hey, are they getting doubles right now? Because those doubles are likely to transmit to power.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we saw last year. He hit all those doubles. And then this year it's turning into home runs.
Future tellers of, you know, guy maybe has 9 or 10 homers in the minors or something like that, but all of a sudden 35 doubles. Like, pay attention to doubles on what's missed, because some of these are weird ballpark. I mean, homers can also get weird. I remember Chris Blessing talking about some reports he had got on, or maybe it was Matt Thompson, actually. No, it was Matt Thompson who had said it, where it was like, Jacob Marcy, you know, some of those home run powers in the minors were him taking advantage of, you know, pull side on certain really short porches and stuff like that. And it's like, well, that's also an advantage to a hitter, but just not everything equates. Just because the power numbers don't look elite don't mean that there isn't big power to be built on in the future as they make better decisions. Especially, you know, I'll look at guys and I'll be like, okay, you know, like an Aiden Miller, even if he finished at like 13 homers or something like that, he's probably going to be near the tippy top in doubles. And then you think of a guy like that, once the organization really gets a hold of them. Again, I tell people how much organizations, not saying all, but don't with hitters go bonkers at every single level and every single week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the...
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! Not, you know, vesting them up and doing all this stuff and tracking data. Sometimes the things happen after the season. Sometimes they don't happen at all. Sometimes it's, these are things we want you to go work on these. But then you get to the majors and it's like daily activation of working on this type of stuff. And maybe if you have really, you know, where I'm getting at is a hitter like this, then you get, you know, working in with major league hitting coaches and stuff like that. And then they start turning, you know, pulled fly balls are being hit harder and you're getting more power. Like I can dive into those players and I can buy with those players. And Dylan Beavers might be one of them. Number 8, Hayden Birdsong with the Giants. You've definitely liked you some Giants pitchers so far this year. Mason Black experiment hasn't been so good, but Birdsong has been pretty solid so far this year, coming off of a 7-strikeout performance, Tim.
Yeah. Difference between Birdsong and Black is Birdsong has way better stuff. Black is more of like a control type pitcher, like pitch with your brain. Birdsong is just stuff. So 5 innings, 7 Ks, 1 walk. We haven't talked about him this year, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about. But he has a 34.5% CSW, 14.2 swing strike rate. So really good stuff numbers in the minors. And 96, 97 mile per hour fastball. The curve is awesome. Like that's like the pitch that I watched and I'm just like, ooh. That's a pretty pitch to watch. It's nice to watch guys swing over that one. But I think we talked about on the podcast a little bit, like curves are not like the pitch right now in professional baseball. So we'll see how that translates with him. But like, I think there's like a bit of a Charlie Morton in here is like the vibes I get from him, like big fastball curve, fastball at the top of the zone and then the curve. But yeah, I like Birdsong a lot. And the Giants too, they've been good at developing pitchers. So the orgs that show that they can develop pitchers, that's something where I'm going to take note of. And I might bump a prospect up a few spots here or there just based on where, you know, oh, the Giants have success. What they do with Carlos Rodon. Okay. Yeah. That looked good. They got all these guys that they've had success with. Okay. So let me, you know, bump this guy over this guy because I like this org better than another org. I'll do that for a few spots, not for like 20, 30 spots in my rankings, but like that may make or break the difference between one guy being at 80 and 82 or whatever, for an example.
Yeah. And you know, the Giants, it's one of those places. I don't know if you're looking for opportunity this year, we're going to see a lot of Birdsong, especially with guys, you know, returning from injuries and, you know, them going to probably keep going through the Mason Black experiment, but Birdsong, a good deeper pitcher. I've always said you won't see me usually swimming in the higher upper echelon pitcher pool. I want to be on that second half of pitchers. I want to buy those guys that can be the next top 5 or 10 because the movement happens quick. And Birdsong doesn't, I don't think he lives in that world also of like the buzz pitchers, because that's the other thing. It's like the top 10 guys, they're going to cost the most. But then even if the valuations don't equate to, you know, this guy over here being, you know, the 25th pitcher, but if there's being talked about the 40th pitching, George Klassen is an example. We're going to talk about him in a second too. So one of those guys, like everyone's very excited about, but no one wants to make a hyper aggressive move to call him, you know, whatever, top 25 SP. You're more likely to get a Birdsong than a Klassen though, even if Birdsong is ranked higher just from buzz and excitement level. It's a very stock markety type of thing. Number 9, Ralphie Velasquez with the Guardians, who I love and I've seen a ton. Hit 278 so far this year, has 7 homers, a couple stolen bases, 4, shouldn't just say a couple. On the last year, he absolutely dominated him, hitting over 300. This last week, it's kind of continued, and that move to just being a first baseman is solid. I love Ralphie Velasquez. He's a true first baseman in my eyes with 35-plus home run power, good contact. I think you could play the comp games kind of across the board, just, you know, whether it's you want to play Goldie or you want to find, you know, old school Jose Abreu. Like, he's just like a classic 30 plus home run first baseman who's going to hit for some power. I love me some Ralphie Velasquez. He's a top 100 prospect on my list.
Yeah. 8 for 19 this week with 6 walks, 3 extra base hits, a bomb and a steal. And this is one of my biggest movers. Like, when I was doing my rankings and I was watching video of Ralphie, that's one of the guys that I was just like, oh man, like I got to get this guy high. And like, that's one where when I was kind of like going back through my rankings after I thought I had everything sorted, I just kept pushing him up a little more, because I liked him. And my comp for him, talking about the first baseman, is Anthony Rizzo. That's the one that I like for him.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, again, like he's a little bit bulkier than a Rizzo. I mean, he's actually got more of maybe a physical comp to like a Vinny Pasquantino. But I think he's more aggressive from like a home run standpoint, lots of extra base hits and stuff. I really like Ralphie. You know what? Maybe Vinny is a proper comp now that you look at it. He's also a sub 20% strikeout guy with a 15% walk rate so far this year. So maybe inadvertently, that's kind of the same realm. And then finally, we mentioned him. George Klassen is making the list again. He continuously has really good performances and really good starts. We just want to see him move the damn levels, get him out of where he's been. 5 strikeouts in the last start. Was this a start that you saw?
Yeah, this is the one that I saw, where I saw Klassen and Aiden Miller in the same game. So he only pitched 3 innings, which is a little disappointing because I did have to drive quite a bit, but at least I got to see Aiden Miller still. So no complaints, but 3 innings, 5 Ks, 0 walks, but 4 hits. And the 0 walks is a little bit deceptive because he was all over the place. I think he had like 3 or 4 wild pitches, and it was the same pitch. It was just fastball up in the zone at like 99, just way over the catcher's head, hitting the backstop. So like the command, it's not really there. But then again, this is his first start post-injury. He got hurt and missed a couple turns through the rotation and was coming back. And he looked better in like the second and the third inning, because the first inning was just kind of, he was just all over the place. But he's got a 98, 99 mile per fastball that rises, like really good IVB. That's one of the things that people talk about with him. You can see it when you watch him play. 91 mile per hour sweeper, and then an 87 mile per hour vertical hard slider, which was a really nice pitch. And
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I comped him to Luis Gil because like it's just kind of like effectively wild is like what I want to say when it comes to Klassen. 40% CSW still. So just like people were swinging stuff that was even like way outside of the zone. They were still swinging at it.
Did you put him top 150 in your update?
Yeah, I've got him at 118. And like the reason that I didn't even have like he has really good stuff, but I'm concerned about the control and I want to see him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. Make this stuff play at higher levels, because like it's almost like Connor Phillips vibes a little bit, where Connor Phillips was having this just sick stuff last year, and then he was all over the place. And like I kind of feel that a little bit here, that I'm like, okay, maybe this dude is a reliever long term. I mean, he's got 3+ pitches. He should start, like, but the control. It depends on like, and like I said, it might have been an aberration. It might have just been my look at him, seeing him, because he was coming off injury. So I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of a doubt. And when it comes to that, but he was kind of like for like zero walks, like that's like very deceptive, very sneaky zero walks.
Who's the pitcher you have below him? Do you know?
Let me see here. I can look real quick. Give me a second.
I'm just curious at like what
Erston Waldrip is the pitcher that I have, I think, next.
And then who's the pitcher above him?
Pitcher above him is going to be, I got a lot of hitters there. Winston Santos with the Rangers.
Okay. I'm trying to get a vibe for, I guess it'd probably almost be more interesting of like the pitchers that didn't make it to, just to kind of see the value. Cause like I'm looking at like that top 150 range, and there's like a collection of guys that I could see. Like I could see everybody not liking Mick Abel anymore, but I still like, I don't know if Swellenbach, who just went to the majors, that's another one of those guys that sits there. Brandon's Sprout. Like there's a handful of these players that all kind of sit in this world where I think that like, again, think of the pitching as like three groups. There's the elite tier, which is, let's call it the top 13. Then there's that next group that just everybody has, you know, let's just say it's like, you know, Lesko, Bubba Chandler, Mazur, Warren, like everybody's got like those guys. And then this third tier is like after all of those players, you know, who knows the range? It could be top 125 to 200. But what I'm getting at is like, I think everybody might have their own collection of their favorites. You know, some might not have Chase Hampton. Some might not have River Ryan or Hunter Barco. Some might exclusively have George Klassen and Jonah Tong. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's this huge group of pitchers that all kind of like are interesting, but they might be intertwined. So I guess if you were only looking at a 150 list, if you looked at like five different people's 150 list and you had to get a pitcher to make it, it might just be quite a different collection of guys, because I do think that pool is very interesting of these post 100 SPs that are out there in the world. There's a lot of interesting ones to invest in, but you know, if we only talk about Zebby Matthews or Quinn Matthews or Jonah Tong, then it might make guys like, you know, Brandon Sprout or Hunter Barco less exciting to the public eye, or Reggie Crawford with his fastball, probably going to be relief though. So could go on and on, drone and drone. Guess what? You want to check out the top 150 list? You can get Tim's over at Fantasy Pros. Make sure to follow him at Fantasy Ace Ball on the Twitter. And it's probably, you tweeted it out, right?
Yeah, it's. I think actually Fantasy Pros just tweeted it out, because we talked about it before. It's just like you finish the article, you submit it. You're like, okay, do your thing. Work your little behind the scenes magic here. Fix all my errors. And then let me know when it's done.
But if you retweet it, you can go to the Fantasy Pros MLB Twitter, or just go to Fantasy Ace Ball. I'll tweet it out as well. You can check out Tim's top 150. My most recent update is over on the Patreon, but I am shooting for an early week next week. I know I always say shooting, but we are going to like actually try to get the update out there, because we also got stuff going on in June. We got a lot more draft talk. I'm going to the draft combine, so I'd love to get that main update out at the very first week. So go and check me out on the Patreon at inthisleague.com. If you want to sign up today, you can support. I'd appreciate that. Also want to do some giveaways. I was thinking about that during the show. I got some George Kalas stuff here too. Maybe we could do some giveaways. So be on the lookout for that. Also, I do, you know, I got a cool card break I'm trying to do and post up here, a little event. We do the Break This League events over on the Patreon if you want to check that out. And that is it though? So we'll figure out how we're going to do some nice giveaways. Shout out to Dennis Sidler at Sid's Graphs. Go and check Sid's Graphs out today. And the supporting of the podcast, Luis Hill, who we talked about, one of his guys, Tink Hintz, who we talked about, one of his guys as well, and many more. Go to sidsgraphs.com or on the eBay or Instagram. You can find out all his good stuff. I was telling him there are these crazy performances. I'm like, we got to get some tweets out there. So he had some tweets on some of his stuff with Cole Reagans, with Luis Hill. And I was telling him, you got a ridiculous rotation right now of great pitchers, but also check out all the great hitters that he has as far as his clients go. Colt Emerson, I was just looking at his name. Colt Emerson being one of those as well. So go and check it out today, Sid's Graphs. That is it. Is it the Welsh? Fantasy Ace Ball. Thank you guys for hanging out with us here on Prospect One. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.